You're listening to On Air with Doug, Jen, and Victoria.
Another Pleasant Valley Monday. It's the last day of July 2017, the Thoidy First. And I am Doug Steffen, and she is Jennifer Horn, and she is Victoria Keelan, and she is Kara Schilling. What's wrong with this picture? There are three female names, only one male name. What's the problem here? Or is there a problem?
Wow, what a shame.
Yeah. It sounds like you're stacking the deck, Dougie.
Is it really? I've never looked at it upon that. All right, Jennifer, you get started with an overview of what exciting things you did this past weekend, who you saw, where you went, what you did, so that people can compare their wonderful lives to your life. And sometimes people say when they come away from our descriptions, I have a miserable life. No, no, we don't want you to have a miserable life. We want you to have ideas. Come up. This is an idea program. So we come up with ideas based on our experience, and then you take it from there. How's that?
I'm going to disappoint you because no. I didn't do too much this weekend. I had a massage on Saturday, and I cleaned up my closet on Sunday and just did some stuff that I needed to do. So I was kind of boring this weekend.
What did you do with the things you cleaned out of your closet? Did you toss them or did you bring them to someplace so somebody else can use them?
Typically, the vets will come and get them. The Vietnam vets will come around and pick up the stuff. So that's who I usually choose to donate to.
Really? Is it all clothing usually?
Well, out of my closet, yeah, but not usually. I mean, they'll take anything.
Yeah, they will. What do they do with this stuff? Where do they bring it, and how do you know it's put to good use and it isn't just tossed by them?
I've always given to them, and that they have stores locally in Southern California that I think they use to sell the stuff and make money for the cause. And so, yeah, that's.
So, do you keep track of it and make it a donation that can be deducted from your tax return?
Sure.
Do you really? Or are you just saying?
I do. Yeah. No, I do every year. Yeah.
Sometimes. Oh, yeah, sure. Let's get rid of him and go on to the next person.
No, I do. Yeah, that's one of my items that I donate for the year, yes.
Yeah, okay. Just checking to make sure that you're taking advantage of every opportunity, and that's the right way for those of you who do clean out things. The best thing to do is to donate them and keep a record and then have yourself a little tax. You've helped everybody. You've been helped, and you're helping everybody. See, there's idea number one from this hour of the DJV experience. Okay, from the V corner, what'd you do this weekend?
Our best man had a surprise birthday party on Friday night, so we drove out to Long Island for that, and that was super fun. And then Saturday, we were literally completely useless, and we just Netflixed pretty much all day.
Really?
Yeah.
Such a beautiful day, too. You stayed inside.
We were just exhausted, so yeah, we did nothing. We had the best of intentions. We had a lot of chores that we skipped, but yesterday we got a fair amount done. We did brunch, which is so nice because this is a rare weekend that we stay in the city during the summer. And whenever you do as a New Yorker, it's so nice because the city's empty and you don't have to wait online for anything. So we got a lot of chores done and we didn't have to wait for brunch. So it was amazing. It's the little things.
Do you ever decide when you go into a place that you're not going to stay because the line's too long?
Oh, all the time. Yeah. Sure, all the time.
I just won't do that. I don't go if a place, this is such a popular place. Good. Somebody else enjoy it.
Yeah.
There's nothing worth sitting around for a half hour. There's no place that exists, in my mind, worth sitting around for a half hour. And sometimes the arrogance of the way they tell you, or when you look around and you see table after table after table that isn't filled, and yet you have to wait. Mostly because they don't have a wait staff or they're not enough people in the kitchen, that kind of stuff. That's always the telltale sign. If there are empty tables, management's bad, they may have good food, but they don't have the number of people that it takes to wait on appropriately, and they don't have enough people, or there aren't enough people in the kitchen. That's it. That's the way. And if that's the case, they don't respect you and your... Maybe you go back to the same restaurant. I don't even like to do that. I'm not much of going, but do you like to go back to the same places, ladies? Do you find yourself frequenting, other than Bob's Big Boy, Jennifer and I have not frequented the same places, and that's gone, so we can't do that anymore.
I know.
But do you find yourself going back to the same places?
Oh, yeah. We use our neighborhood places all the time.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So you don't explore?
I mean, sure. We do when we can, but it's if we just feel like walking to a place, that's the benefit of living in the city. We just walk a block or two and, you know, we've got so many options that we don't really need to go that far unless it's a special occasion or we really want to try a new place. But see, that's the thing. New places in New York are just insane to try to get a table, and it's I always just let the buzz all die down before I even bother.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's very good. And then you go ahead with, but it's respect. I think that if you go to somebody's place, you've gone in, you're telling them that you respect them or you want to try and do, you know, what they want you to do. That's sample what they're doing. And if they make you wait for an inordinate amount of time, All right, so Kara, what magic did you perform this weekend?
I didn't go to brunch, but that sounds amazing, and I wish that I had. No, I was supposed to. So my baby niece is a little bit older than 3 months now, and so my sister has taken her to the pool one time, and I didn't get to go that time. So we were all going to go to the pool over the weekend and take her swimming, but it was about 65, 70 degrees and rainy on Saturday, so we did not end up doing that. But we all just hung out at my parents' house and ate lunch and got to hold the baby and all of that stuff. And then I went to a friend and her boyfriend just moved into a place recently. So we had a housewarming party for them. And then Sunday I did laundry and I worked out and I laid on my couch the rest of the day.
Really?
It was pretty great.
So you managed to, you worked out and then you laid on the couch. So you didn't, did you, by doing that, did you spoil the workout or you just behaved yourself and didn't have lots of popcorn and candy, pizza, ice cream?
Well, I didn't have any of the popcorn and pizza and candy and stuff, but I don't know. I didn't have ice cream either. I wish I had. But no, I laid on the couch, and then I worked out, and then I laid on the couch some more. So I think it was like a nice even spread of like doing stuff and laying on the couch.
Good. All right, so there it is. Ladies and gentlemen, how do all of those things compare to your weekend?
What
and
did
what
you do?
You did. I did my typical
Stefan.
The weather was wonderful. It's marvelous here today. Baled a lot of hay. Did a lot of work on the farm. It's a typical summer weekend. Went to see the movie Baby Driver, which was I had resisted going to see it, but I had some time and I was by myself, so I decided I'd go. And it was okay. It was not, it was John Hamm.
Was it too violent for you? Or what did you think about that?
Yeah, it was a little bit violent.
I don't even know what it's about. What's
Kevin Spacey plays a bad guy who coordinates groups of bad guys to rob and steal. And they do banks, they do the post office, they do all kinds of stuff. But the kid who drives is an 18-year-old high school kid, and he's a fabulous driver. His story, his mother was killed in a car accident. He lost his hearing. There are all kinds of subplots that are pretty good. Jamie Foxx is an interesting bad guy. John Hamm is an interesting bad guy. Let's see, who else is in it that you would know? A couple of other faces, but it's the same plot repeated three times with Spacey, as usual, playing the most interesting character, although the kid's part was good. It was okay. It was a good way to, well, I don't know, good way, an okay way.
I really liked it. It's basically a heist movie, but they set it to a soundtrack. So everything is choreographed. Like all of the gunshots, all of the different movements are choreographed to whatever song is in the background, which is the cool part of it.
It's clever. Yes, I would say. And that's thank you because you left out an important I left out an important part that you plugged in. Yeah, I would say that the music is a very interesting part of it, the way they use the songs that come from Baby. From the various generations. Yeah, that was clever. Good. Thank you for reminding me about that, Kara. See? There are good things that come even from things that you don't think are so good. I did enjoy the music part of it. Yeah. 16 past the hour. This is the DJV experience. The this business about the Speed Queen washer and dryer set has gotten a lot of attention. We're giving away a brand new laundry room, courtesy of the folks at Speed Queen. So if you haven't done over the weekend a lot of laundry because your washing machine is junk, perhaps you ought to enter the Love in My Laundry sweepstakes, and you can win the chance to upgrade your laundry with the laundry system that includes the new Speed Queen washer dryer combination. You get a lot of laundry goodies. Get ready to bring on laundry day instead. Do you have laundry day? Is Monday laundry day, or is it just when if you're like me, you don't have a hamper. I just throw all the clothes into the washing machine when it's full. I fill
no
it
dividing with colors or anything?
Nah. Well,
such
I do.
Such a boy.
I do whites, and then I do everything else. How's that? Okay?
Is that a
good way of doing it?
Mm-hmm.
So go to lovingmylaundry.com. Don't do it like I did it at first because I'm the old English prof. Lovingmylaundry.com is not where you want to go. They've taken the G out of the gerundive, so it's lovingmylaundry.com. They obviously didn't come to me for advice on how to put this together, but they have scheduled to give away 50 different things over the course of, what is this supposed to go till, I forget when it goes to. Is it till sometime in, is it August or September? When are we giving this stuff away? September 11th, I think. Oh, isn't that interesting? Huh. So, the grand prize is a Speed Queen washer-dryer combo, and what you're encouraged to do, you can win this drive, but it's about a $2,000 deal, so it's worth your time. No question about that. Runner-up, we're going to get gift cards, and that'll be kind of cool. You're not going to get the average washing machine no matter what. They are built to last 25 years. That's pretty unusual for this day and age, isn't it? A washing machine or any kind of appliance that's supposed to last for 25 years, backed by industry's best warranties. So if you want a good big load off of your mind, we're not doing this on our social media, though, ladies. We're going to send them to lovinmylaundry.com. I think that's the idea of what to do. Yeah?
Yep.
Yeah?
Okay. Yep, that's correct, yeah.
You could win a laundry basket filled with clothespins and a laundry, all kinds of stuff, a $200 Amazon gift card. That's the way to do it. So you want to be in the offing for running, then go to lovinmylaundry.com. Dude, I'm still alive! For Grammy Award-winning artist Sheryl Crow, inspiration comes from every place, even the most random tweet. This month, Kid Rock, whose real name is Bob Ritchie, announced that he was running for the Senate. So one Twitter user decided to drag Sheryl Crow into the debate to see how she feels about her ex-boyfriend going into politics. And it reads like this: "Oh, man, at Sheryl Crow must be rolling in her grave right now," said to Tuna Catsup. Who the hell? This is somebody. What kind of stupid name? Anyway, okay, don't get lost on that one, Doug. Crow, who is very much alive, and she's actually promoting her latest album, shot back, "Dude, I'm still alive." So this guy thought that she was dead, and...
Or he doesn't know what rolling in my grave means.
What does it mean?
What?
And what does it mean to you?
Well, I know what it means. I'm just saying he may not have known what that expression meant, and that's why he said rolling over
in her grave means to me somebody's dead.
Right, and rolling over in their grave. He was wrong. He was kind of a dope, is what I think we're getting at.
Right.
The exchange drew a lot of likes and retweets. Come on, you got nothing better to do. That's what I find startling about this. Somebody makes some random comment, and the world goes bananas. There are lots of people who...
Well, in this case, it inspired her to write a whole song about it, so
yeah.
It was obviously enough of a tweet that she thought that she should write a song about it.
Here's the here's some of the lyric line. "I certainly was confused when I saw your tweet today. How, when I see the headline, I'd be rolling in my grave. If Kid Rock runs for Senate, I'd be surprised, but not over my dead body, because, dude, I'm still alive." That's kind
of strange. I think this is the ultimate deflection. I mean, instead of actually having to go after her friend, who they have two very clear, differing political views, she's able to have some fun with it, and she writes a song instead of having to attack him, which I think was smart. It was good. Mm-hmm. It was a good answer.
How did they, what was their friendship like? How long were they together? What was the
reason? I don't know how they dated, actually. I mean, I know they wrote their songs together. Did they date?
Oh, yeah. And the reason I know that for sure, even though they weren't that public, when I was a lowly talent water getting girl, when I first started out at Sirius, we had Pamela Anderson, who dated him right after her, Sheryl. Sheryl and Pamela Anderson were in opposite studios, and Pam Anderson asked all of our staff to please make sure she does not run into Sheryl. Cheryl because Cheryl didn't like her because Pam stole him from her.
Ah, okay.
So,
so this was before she dated Lance Armstrong then?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Really? Was Sheryl Crow happy he was gone, or did Pamela Anderson actually steal him from her?
I think he was stolen.
Anything I've ever seen a kid rock, I can't imagine why anybody would
I can't. I don't understand why any two women who are beautiful would fight over him.
You have to watch him on the stage. I don't know. There's something gross and dirty, but sort of hot about him.
Gross and dirty is what I'd underscore. All right, Cheryl, you're better off, and you did a nice job with the song, so hopefully you'll have a hit. Next up on the musical stage is Lady Gaga. This is the continuing story over Dr. Luke, that scumbag. Speaking of scumbags, this guy's even more of a scumbag. So I thought this was all done, the lawsuit against Kesha.
No.
Or who's doing what with whom here? What is this?
Now Dr. Luke's lawyers, they've subpoenaed Lady Gaga over the weekend because they said she texted with Kesha and they want her text messages to be admissible in court.
And so what was...
They're
what
thinking that Lady Gaga knows that Kesha's lying. That's what they think.
Really?
But Gaga has been very defensive of Kesha, so I don't know.
Yeah. Dr. Luke needs an appointment with a steamroller, I think. All right. That's how I read it. Thank you. 34 after the hour. Sports coming up in a matter of moments here on the DJV Show, which you can follow on Twitter at DJV Show. Also, the individuals who are on the program at Doug Steffen, at Jennifer Horn, at On Air Victoria, at C. Schillen. Yes. I didn't do any posting this weekend on the Facebook because I actually didn't spend any time looking at Facebook, which I sometimes enjoy, actually, looking around, nosing around, seeing what people are coming up with, what ideas they have. It's a good place for ideas. Facebook.com/DJV Show. And then there's a lot of discussion, a lot of gossip about people. For example, people in the news, part one, George Clooney. Not somebody that Jennifer likes anymore because he was taken off the market by Amal.
Slamming
a tabloid which ran pictures of Mr. Clooney and his wife with their newborn baby, babies, Ella and Alexander. Clooney issued a statement saying, quote, over the last week, photographers from, Voici, it's probably because of French paper. Voici, as in here, isn't it? Isn't voici mean here in French? Voici, voila means there. All right, anyway, so Voici magazine, scale. Listen to this, these guys jump over the fence at his place down in Lake Como, Italy. So they have that much balsam to jump over. They take pictures. Inside, they go up to the outside of the house and stick their cameras in the windows. Must not have, do you need security? You'd like to think that people who are, just because they're well-known, wouldn't have to hire security? Wouldn't have to have, what is there about security? What is there about being famous that people think is so important? So you're famous, so what? Why is it that people are that crazy to see pictures? Who gives a damn? I don't give a damn what his twins look like.
I mean, babies all look the same to me,
exactly.
So I don't get
Thank
it. But
you.
There's some weird fascination that the public has with tabloids and baby bumps, which I think is so stupid. And, you know, trying to spot a baby bump on a woman, it's like, who cares? And pictures of twins, I guess because they've never released a picture. So whoever gets the first picture of them.
Because they want privacy. Hello.
I know. Yeah. But I think that's why a lot of celebrity couples release a picture. So then it takes away that mystery so that people aren't scaling your fence.
Get a life. All right, next up on the people in the news department, there's a little there's a tete-a-tete going on between Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, and Vladimir Putin, apparently.
I think the Vladimir Putin part might be a lie.
Well,
I'm not sure.
What do you know about the Hermitage Capital Management Company? One of the largest managers of money.
Oh, they manage my properties.
Yeah, right. I'm sure. So the guy who runs Hermitage says that President Vladimir Putin has a personal fortune of up to $200 billion. He was talking before the Senate Judiciary Committee last week, and he's considered one of the best authorities on Putin and his business dealings. He was apparently a major investor in Russia because there was a lot of stuff that was going cheap during their problems and the chaos of the 90s. So there are a lot of companies over there. Putin apparently bought into the Russian gas company, and then this guy talked too much, so he was a target. He was the company was thrown out of Russia because they were apparently letting too many people know too much stuff. Can you imagine what the Russian, considering the state of the Russian economy, if in fact he is worth $200 billion, first of all, how'd he get it? And you know how he got it. He's a mobster. He's a gangster. A former KGB guy. Anybody gets in the way, see you later. So,
if he does have it, his own personal worth would be more successful than the entire economy of Russia. I mean,
yeah.
One of Russia's problems, and the reason that you don't see Vladimir Putin throwing his weight around more on an international scale, I mean, you see him involved in Syria, but the reason that he's not more irritating, I guess, on a global field is because they don't have a lot of money in Russia. In fact, Russia's economy is the same as Italy's economy, but just on the scope of so much more landmass and people that the economy kind of suffers there. So that's the only thing that would surprise me. It doesn't surprise me that Vladimir Putin would make himself rich while his economy suffers, but I mean, that seems like a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, there's that. Trump apparently has been good for Putin in a number of ways, including his economy. Trump, all these guys, Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, Larry Ellison, Warren Buffett, and Vladimir Putin have seen an increase since Trump became president in their combined net worth of $66 billion. So, as a matter of fact, Facebook has increased 50% in value this year. Why is that? What is there that, remember we were talking about Facebook being dead? Is it just that Zuckerberg's smart and has made it more valuable to go onto Twitter?
Well,
to go onto Facebook?
Facebook has bounced back a lot with Facebook Live, and then all the efforts of trying to clean up the fake news and things like that. They've stayed very relevant in the news.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they also, one of their real money makers is Instagram that they own. So when Facebook's stock goes up, it doesn't necessarily just mean it's because of Facebook. It's because of a lot of the other stuff that they've got going on.
Got it. Okay,
and Instagram is starting to beat Snapchat in numbers. So Instagram is I would say right now the most valuable of the social media platforms.
All right, thank you for that explanation. All right, next on the People News front, Sergio Jose Martinez. You're going to love this. Well, you're not going to love this, but this is one of those things, yet another example of the illegal activities of illegal immigrants. Mr. Martinez has been accused of breaking into a 65-year-old woman's home, assaulting her, stealing her car. He was arrested after assaulting another woman and running from police. Mr. Martinez, let's see here. How many times has he been deported? He's been accused of illegal entry into the United States 7 times into the Portland, Oregon area. 7 times is not the right number. He's been deported 20 times. Can you imagine? And people who don't this and is Portland a sanctuary city? That's what I'm trying to faff around here. And I don't remember whether Portland is a sanctuary city or not. But can you imagine the amount of money that you and I as taxpayers have paid into the system to have this guy? And by the way, 5 times he's been arrested, put in jail, got out of jail, whatever it was. He has 5 probation violations. They put you on probation when you are sent out of when you're deported back to your country. You're on a probation list. So he's violated that 5 times. It just the list goes on and on and on. They want to detain him again. And the silence here is stupefying. Not only from those of us who just, it's your jaw drops when you hear these stories about these guys. And what we're doing, and people who fight against, I don't know that the fact you put up a wall is going to do anything. But this is the thing, I don't really, honestly, if truth, 100% truthful, I don't really care when I see the stories about people who take jobs from Americans. What bothers me are the people who are paying It's not the illegals. They're coming to take advantage of something that has been set up by people who agree to break the law. Those people who pay folks to work under the table or who pay them to work and they know they're not legal. I don't know if it's the illegals that should be the ones charged. I think it's people who pay them and hire them. Frankly, that's the way I read it. But when it comes to these sorts of things where we're impotent, the law is impotent. And what we have done makes not, we're a laughingstock. It's a joke to be deported, as is proven by guys like this. So what do we do? Why are we sending them away? Why don't we just put them in jail and leave them there? What do we care where they come from? Well, some of the lawyers say they have rights back at home. Huh? They're not back home. They're here. And it just, this is appalling. I can't come up with a word, or I can, but I can't say it on the radio. The fact that these sorts of things happen, and it goes on and on and on and on and on.
Well, and it just, I mean, from someone who lives in Los Angeles, and this is a real problem, is forget, everybody has a hardship story, and I understand, and I think we should be empathetic to that. But the people that are really the ones that are being impacted by sanctuary city policy are the criminals, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, as someone living in California and then drilling down more specifically Los Angeles, is that the governments that I pay taxes into are using my money. They're using taxpayer dollars to provide legal support to people who have come here, commit crimes, and then are being sent back. And my city and my state are choosing to fight that. And I don't understand why. If I were in trouble, could I get legal support to fight to get me back off of something? Probably not. I mean, you might be able to get a public defender, but that's pretty much it. These are special funds, $1 million in Los Angeles, $10 million in California, that are being used to fight to keep criminals here, and that aren't from here. I just don't understand that process.
Where does
it
that
just
even
doesn't.
Come?
It has, doesn't even make any sense. These are not the good people who are coming here to work, right?
So why don't we have a class action lawsuit and sue these people? The people who make fun of Trump for this kind of stuff. There may be a lot of legitimate reasons to make fun of Trump, but this isn't one of them. Under any stretch of anybody's imagination, this is just damnable, just wrong.
It's just one of those things that you hear about and you see going on around you and you go, am I living, like, is this an alternate universe? Is there anybody that can defend this? And it's strange. It's just, it's a weird, it's weird that our country is going to go to war over the protection of criminals
among ourselves
that don't belong here, right?
All right, in a moment, sports news. Ladies have a couple of things that are of interest and import to relate to you. 46 after the hour on the DJB show. Hi, Jen from Pittsburgh. The Steelers' Ben Roethlisberger is making news there and everywhere else because he's had enough.
Well, you know what? There's a brand new survey that came out last week that showed 110 of 111 former football players have the brain disease CTE. 99%, I think, was the number. And this really rocked the NFL world. So now Ben Roethlisberger, who's 35, said on Friday that given the relationship between concussions and CTE, he will consider whether or not to return to the field after this season, considering that he's had multiple concussions throughout his career. He said, quote, I want to play catch with my kids. I want to know my kids' names as much as I want my kids to remember what I did and watch me play the game. I also want to remember them when I'm 70 years old. He was shaken by the results of the study that were published in the Journal of American Medical Association. Yeah. And described the results as, quote, some real life stuff. He continued, he said, I think for my wife, it was more of a factor for her. You have to take it into consideration. That's why I've always been forthright and honest about my concussions and being hit in the head, which could be a little shout to Tom Brady, who has been kind of a little bit shady when it has come to his concussions and what his wife says versus what he actually says. So,
all right, you get sacked if you're in that position. All right, Victoria, former Yankee player, and I think a Red Sox player too, Danny Tartabull is in the news.
Oh, yeah. He's 54 now, so he's been retired for a while, but he got himself arrested in California last week in connection with $275,000 in unpaid child support dating back to 2011. So he called the cops because someone broke into his car and he got busted himself.
Aha! 10 before the hour. From the No Bull Department, this is Tech Talk time. presented by people who are, I shouldn't say people because there's only one person involved who's really in the know. I cannot consider myself to be in the know and on the go when it comes to technology. But I do know Victoria would like to update us on a policy Apple has had. You may be happy to know that it's changing. And if you're an exerciser, you may not have to go to the gym. Courage and spirit. That's how I describe Victoria Keelan, who's here with the story on Apple. I don't know. This is from the, actually, we were talking about Baby Driver
right
earlier. So this is an interesting play on that in a manner of speaking. Yes.
Yes, well, Baby Driver, the movie, heavily features an iPod Nano and an iPod Shuffle, and those are the very colorful, tiny MP3 players that that eventually became, they came from the original iPod. And so, for whatever reason, this has turned into a social media thing now with this movie, where everyone thinks the iPod Nano sponsored the movie because it was so heavily featured. And right. Ansel Elgort, the lead character, listens to music the whole time. And so they thought this was going to be a new campaign for Apple. Turns out CEO Tim Cook says they're discontinuing the iPod Nano as well as the iPod Shuffle. So it has nothing to do with the movie at all. And a lot of people were disappointed with this news over the weekend on social media. So Apple says it's continuing to cut back on its production of anything that's a music-only player, because people just don't need that anymore. Most music is now streamed, so if you have an app on your phone, if you have, if you're an iPhone user, you have Apple Music, Tidal, Spotify, whatever app you use to stream, and you don't need a separate MP3 player. So now they said they're simplifying its their iPod selection, and it's just going to be iPod Touch models that cost between $199 and $299. And they discontinued the iPod Classic model in 2014. And so the bad news, what this really means, if you are an iPod Nano user, you won't eventually have software support. So eventually you are going to have to get rid of it. And that's the real downer.
Wow. That's pretty upsetting. I just found one that had been in my closet for 4 or 5 years, and I gave it to Bob, and he's already got it all programmed.
Yeah.
How exciting is that? All right, here's something. Speaking of exciting, no more excuses for those of you who can't reach your fitness goals. Here's how you can do it at home.
There's an engineering student named Ronan Byrne who is starting to blow up social media with this as well. This is his new invention. He hooked up his stationary bike in his room, in his apartment. He hooked it up to his Netflix so that he can watch all the Netflix he wants as long as he's pedaling. It's kind of genius, actually. And he even did, because he's one of these engineering geeks, he put out a video showing other people how they can make their own at home. So if you are mechanically inclined and you have a stationary bike and you have a Netflix account, you can search Ronan Byrne, and it's called Cycflix. That's the name of his invention. Yep, Cycflix. And so you can actually see how you can do it yourself. The interesting thing about this, I would not be surprised if he ends up getting some seed money for this, because this idea has really blown up. From any type of angel investor, a GoFundMe, I think that there's a Kickstarter campaign that will probably happen, because, I mean, being able to watch all the Netflix you want as long as you're exercising, it's a genius idea.
Mm-hmm. What else
I can
you
totally
apply to?
See this. Well, I mean, for right now, he only has it hooked up to Netflix, but I would imagine you can hook it up to, you could easily see a bike hitting the market that is hooked up to any one of your streaming TV services. If you have, you know, like I have PlayStation View, I could totally see that working.
Instead of watching television or whatever it is they put on in the gym.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Or if it at home, it's if you hook it up to your regular TV, you can sit on your stationary bike and watch whatever you want on your flat screen. And the thing is, if you stop pedaling, the show stops. It's perfect. Ah, I think it's amazing.
That's an incentive. That's pretty good. I like that. I didn't get that part of it. Yeah. Okay. So that's a good idea. All right. Exercise. Keep your body and your mind moving. This is the DJV Affair at 59 past the hour. Seven after the hour. Howdy doody. Say hello, ladies, to the folks listening in the Chattanooga area, all around Tennessee. I have 4 or 5 stations in Tennessee who are eager to hear what we have to say. Huntsville, Alabama as well. Boise, Idaho, all over that area. And WMEL land. Hoo-ha. I'm happy that we are on the beach as it were. Topeka, Kansas, signing in. Norfolk, Virginia, Reno, Nevada. How's that? And Walla Walla, Washington. What a great name. Anybody ever been to Walla Walla?
No, but I'd like to because they have wine there.
They have Walla wine Walla
country,
wine?
Yep. Wow. Sure do.
Imagine that. Walla Walla wine in Washington. Say that fast again. Walla Walla wine in Washington. Everybody.
Where have you been coming from? You're a little out of breath, sir.
Yeah.
I know. I ran up the stairs. Walla Walla, Washington. Walla Walla wine. Okay. Let's go to Pendleton, Oregon instead. All right. So here we have from the Hello Department a study that suggests that you and I have come to this planet from distant galaxies. How often have you heard your host, Mr. Stefan, say that we are not from this planet? We did not develop from an amoeba, but we came here from distant planets, distant galaxies. Well, it seems that there's a new study out that suggests that there have been a lot of opportunities for us to have come here from other galaxies. Much of the stuff around us and things that are spread through the Milky Way galaxy made up of extragalactic matter, according to the study, using computer models to find out how the matter around us came to be acquired by our galaxy. You know that there are billions of galaxies. The stars cannot be counted because there are so many of them. Stars would be suns. You can't see planets around a sun. You can only see the stars in the sky are suns like our sun in our solar system. We have one of the smallest solar systems in the smallest galaxy in the universe. It's pretty awesome, isn't it, when you think about it? The study looks at a lot of supernova explosions that throw out huge amounts of matter from these galaxies, spread it all over the universe as it's carried by these powerful galactic winds that propel us all. You know, we're moving. Our planet is not stationary. We're moving around the sun, and our solar system is moving around inside of our galaxy. And then people wonder, well, you know, how do we keep from crashing into other solar systems and other planets from other solar systems within our galaxy? Or how does our galaxy keep from exploding or banging into somebody else's galaxy? It is one of those things that gives you, if nothing else, it'll give you two things, a headache, or it'll make you thankful that there is some rhyme or reason. As much as it doesn't seem like it, there's rhyme and reason. There's order coming from some place, some mind, some infinite intelligence, right? Otherwise, how would all of this work? Do you think it's all... How many people think it's an accident? Raise your hands.
An accident?
Yeah, that everything that goes on just happened.
You mean... I don't know.
It's a brain buster, isn't it, when you think about it?
Well, yeah, but I'm trying to think, like, religiously, if you're, like, say, Catholic, what's the origin myth or whatever you want to call it?
It's Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
So they... The okay.
Myth. Where did Adam and Eve come from?
God.
Right. And where's God?
That's the brain buster.
Okay.
It's where you just have faith that he's
sure,
there.
Stop.
I mean, here's the problem is that our little brains are really not set up to calculate this. Our brain's like a beginning, a middle, and an end to a story. And, you know, this something like this, where we come from, our creation, I don't know that any of our brains, even the most highly developed Stephen Hawking brain, can really understand where we really
don't
come
understand.
From.
They call it intergalactic transfer, Jennifer. Mm-hmm. Intergalactic transfer. The movement of matter between galaxies. It's a newly identified phenomenon.
Yeah, but then what caused the galaxy? I mean, you can play this game with any theory.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the Big Bang. Everybody goes, well, if you don't believe in, you know, if you don't believe in Adam and Eve, okay, well, then we believe in the Big Bang. Well, what caused the gas that created the Big Bang? I mean, you can always play the game. Where did that come from?
Well, it came from a source that's too hard for us to define, so we make up stories. The human mind likes to make up stories, things that fit together so that we can be comfortable. That's kind of what it's about. People don't like to be challenged in areas like this. I get complaint after complaint from people when I talk about religion and what nonsense it is. It isn't. It's great if it's good for you, but it's people who say God created it. God created our mind, and in our mind, we created religion.
But here's why that's even wrong. I mean, people have faith. I mean, it's about faith, really. Yeah,
right.
So, you know, we can talk about man-made religion, and I agree with you. There are a lot of stipulations created by man on people's religious ideology. But I would say the one thing that religion does teach that maybe science doesn't is faith. And to be able to answer any of these questions, whether it's a religious question or a science-based question, you have to have a little faith, because there's not one person on the planet who knows for sure what really happened.
You're right. So I'll give you that. It may come from religion. It may come from some other object in some circumstance. I sit in my tractor driving around for hours at a time looking at the sky, thinking about what a wonderful world it is, how much I have to be thankful for. What do I do? To who do I place first in the universe, and how is it that I find acknowledging God to be very reassuring and to be invigorating, because it gives me an excuse. I don't need somebody in a church to tell me this is how I have to believe. Maybe I did get some of my beliefs from going to church when I was a kid, but I think that all too often, especially today, churches get involved in political stuff. They get involved in things that are convenient for them to exercise control over the flock, but they don't really give you answers to things. And you're right. Science is the same. Science is very undependable. So we could look at this and say, that's a bunch of baloney. In 10 years, it could be disproven, because science is always disproving itself. So people who depend on or rely on the kinds of science that most of us do. Science has been great in many respects. Look at all the things, the benefits that have come out of discoveries to fight disease and that sort of thing. But then you take science. Science has created things that have created disease. So is it good or bad? I think we risk a lot, but it does make us comfortable. And that's usually peace of mind is the most beneficial thing that you can have in life. And however you get there, God bless you, go there. And just don't tell me that I have to believe what you believe. That's all. That's all I ask. Don't tell me that I have to believe that what you do with your mind and how you pay tribute to the power that is greater than we all are, I have to go your way. That's really why we have so much trouble in the world today. If it weren't for all the foolishness with those who interpret one writing that Muhammad did, another writing that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John did, and somebody else is writing in the Torah, it's like writing a movie. It's all it is. It's somebody's mind exercised to come up with an explanation, as Jennifer said, for something that there's no explanation for. That's just it. Done. All right, anybody want to argue with that? Step up to the plate.
No, I think there's no point in religion if it doesn't provide comfort on whatever level, if it answers your questions or if it gives you, you know, solace in a time of need, or if it makes you think about positivity, then, you know, I think that if it's not doing any of those things, then what is it really doing for you?
That's a good question. Thank you for asking it. 15 past the hour in the DJV experience. All right, so here's something. By the way, Doug, Jennifer, Victoria, Kara, how do you do? Those of you who live near where Kara does in the District of Columbia are scratching your head today, perhaps. The Washington Post is focusing on a story about the school district, Washington School District, which, from my recollection, Kara, is troubled. Lots of problems. They fired. There was a woman that was superintendent of schools a couple of years ago, and she got fired. I don't know why, because people thought she was doing a great job, at least the things I read about it. So now the question comes as to why suburban families are paying $11,000 a year in tuition to send their children to certain schools within the district. Students who live in Maryland and Virginia going to Garfield Elementary School, Hart Middle School, Brown Educational Center, But most interestingly, the two magnet high schools. So I thought when I first saw this, the explanation was fairly clear and is applicable in most big schools that have schools for the arts. In New York, they have fabulous program. Remember when Roberta Fasinelli's daughter, Jennifer, went? She was always talking about what a great job. And it apparently did do a good job. And I know there are those schools in L.A., aren't there, that do the same sort of thing, that have a lot of suburban students that want to come in and learn dance and media and communications. And
for a long time, that was a trend within L.A. Unified School District, where like academy schools, where you had to actually declare, I guess, a major is sort of what it would be called, like entertainment and media or science or whatever it was. And that was the trend for about 10 years in L.A.
So what happened?
I don't know. They stepped away from it for whatever reason.
They did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there are a lot of people here who are sending their more young women are going. Isn't that interesting than men? I find that even. I wonder what that is. What does that say about the programs that are here? I met a youngster over the weekend who is 17 years old and is going to the tech school here in Framingham for to become an electrician. Hey, he's this one of the smartest kids. His name is Sean McGillicuddy. One of the smartest kids I think I've ever come across. He looked at a problem on an electric panel in one of the barns I was working in. He says, that's the problem. And he fixed it. I thought it was fabulous. Good for him. And good for those of you who are going in that direction. 21 after the hour, DJV Showtime. I think this may be my favorite male country singer, Jennifer, because
it's a solid choice,
he's always there. George Strait announced he's going to revamp his Las Vegas show. Didn't he retour? He retired from touring a couple of years ago.
He did.
And decided he would. Does he live? He must live in Vegas then, right?
I think he does just some special shows. I actually saw him in Vegas, and he's fantastic. It was the second time I saw George Strait. And, you know, I talk about, saw Garth Brooks a couple weekends ago, and his energy is amazing. What's really cool about George Strait is that his music stands up. He just stands on stage, and he'll play. He's got a square stage, and he does two songs, and then he moves to the next side and does two songs, and then he moves to the next side. And he's just solid. It's just so good.
Plays 30 songs a night.
Yeah.
And then the next night he does 30 different songs.
Right. Because he can. Because he's like monster hits.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. All number one songs. And he's going to start up again in September, apparently. He's not telling what his new set of songs will be. But this is very much a. Which one are we listening to here? We're not still with Fool Hearted Memory.
Oceanfront Property.
Yeah.
In Arizona.
He said to the crowd of 20,000 that watched him recently, quote, I want to thank you for making all them songs number one records. I got one more, and then I'm going to send you back to the tables. He wrapped up the show with a cover of Johnny Cash's Folsom Prison Blues,
it's a good song to cover.
Yeah, it is a good song to cover. But he's got, you're right, Jennifer, it's just solid, solid, solid. Refreshingly solid. That's what I would call him. And he goes back to the era country music that I kind of quite like. And he was a halfway decent actor. Every once in a while, he'd do a TV show. Or
oh, my gosh. Pure movie. Country is one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, it is kind of a neat movie, isn't it?
I love that movie. It's so cheesy and great.
Yep. All right, let's move on in the country world to Miranda Lambert and find out what's going on with her. She's decided to talk about the split with her husband, Blake. Wasn't she engaged? Didn't we talk about that last week to Western East or East or West or whatever?
Anderson East. Yeah, that's the rumor. Have you heard anything more about that, Jen?
I read an article over the weekend in a tabloid that said she, as you mentioned, Victoria, was on the phone with Anderson East late into the night, asked him to marry her, and he said yes. So who knows? Maybe they're engaged. Maybe they're not. I don't know. I do know that she's started to chat more and more about her breakup with Blake Shelton, though, and she's on the cover of Billboard this month, and she's letting it all hang out.
If you want to hear my side of the story or my opinion of what happened, it's all in there. Speaking about a coping mechanism, no mystery anymore. Take from it what you will. Why are people so invested in this? It's just more. People love gossip, I guess. That's really what it's about, right?
Well, it's gossip, but it's also, you know, Blake and Miranda were... I mean, the modern day, what, Tim and Faith and George Jones and Tammy Wynette. I mean, they were a country music super couple and they got very famous together. And so I think there's just a lot of interest in what happened. And both of them have been pretty respectful about not dishing the dirt too much using their
so
music.
So how
to
old
do
is
it.
Miranda Lambert?
Like 33, maybe.
So this guy is so she's a bit younger than Blake, but she's older than Anderson West. Or East. Or whatever his name is. Yeah.
Right.
Right? Is that the way it works?
That's the way it works.
Hmm. All right, quick clip from Thomas Rhett's new album. It's called Life Changes. He released his last album in 2015. So what do we think of him in a few words, Jennifer? Thomas
Rhett.
He's
the new, you know, he is the new country music artist of the year. He won it was a big year for him. Huh. I don't know if he's at that level yet. He's not found his way onto the Jennifer Horn playlist, but he's the son of Red Akins, which is helping him out.
Howdy doody, 34 after the hour, another hour of conversation halfway through it. What's on your plate today? Are you playing? Are you serious? Are you looking for good things? Well, maybe this is a way of analyzing what's good, ladies. Jennifer Horn, Victoria Keelan, Kara Schillen here on the DJV Experience. The complaining that's come from people who sit in seats on airplanes. The space that you have is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. So there is now a class action lawsuit. The case of the incredibly shrinking airline seat, which pits your rights as a flyer. And by the way, there's an advocacy group for airline passengers now that's going up against the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration. They petitioned a couple of years ago with the organization arguing that over the past four decades, airplane passenger seats and legroom have gotten smaller and smaller and smaller, while the average passenger is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. They say that causes overcrowding, hinders safety evacuations, and poses a risk, a life-threatening risk in things like, if you're really cramped into a seat and you have something going on, you got to get out of your seat. There are a lot of people who have experienced blood clots as they've traveled because the air in the plane is different. The Center for Disease Control, World Health Organization, warning long-distance travelers of blood clots in their legs. The FAA says, nah, don't worry about it. It doesn't happen much.
Just an occasional blood clot here or there.
Right.
nothing serious. Flyers rights petitioning the FAA to set space standards and prohibit any more seat shrinkage. And so this, along with some grandstanding in Congress by guys like Representative Steve Cohen, introducing a bill calling to standardize the size and space surrounding aircraft passenger seats. Why do we need the government doing this? Why don't people just stay the hell off of the planes that have their, not everybody has the same size seat. So find out which one. Don't get on Spirit because their seat's like sitting on a pincushion.
Why don't we just stand?
Maybe that's the best way to do it. Well, they're going to sell space in England, or was it England? Someplace in Europe is an airline that started that's going to offer a standing room. Imagine,
they're trying to pack so many people. Flying across country, flying back and forth between D.C. and L.A. last week, I couldn't believe every plane that I booked. When I booked it, it was pretty empty. You know, you look at them and you go, oh, okay, it's surprising. A couple of weeks out, this is still pretty empty. Every single one was packed to the gills. And, you know, people are trying to bring on 1,000 pounds of luggage. And,
what airline did you fly?
I flew United, the airline of David Dow.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Ah!
But see, now, nobody pays attention. Interesting you bring that up, Jennifer, because nobody really pays attention to that. They hear the stories about United. There isn't a week that goes by in the last, two, 3 months, there hasn't been some negative story about United Airlines, but yet their profits are higher than they've ever been. More people are flying.
And they're still
United.
Flying around, right. And they're still shoveling people on board. And airfare isn't cheap right now, that's for sure.
No.
That's the thing. If you can get a good deal and you're going and there's a direct flight or maybe one stop to where you have to go, that's going to win out over bad publicity or whatever the current headline is. Yeah. People are just going to keep shot. And I think that's why the airlines haven't really changed that much, because they know
they don't have to.
They don't really have to.
No.
Some celebrities may tweet that they won't be flying them, but that's not really going to impact their business that much.
No, it doesn't. And they just keep
chugging
along.
They know that they've got everybody else.
So the only reason we tell these stories is for our amusement.
I can't think of a
because they're tone deaf to all of this stuff. They don't care. They don't care how they treat you at the gate.
Right.
They don't care how they treat you on the plane. They don't care about how they treat you when you call for a question to be answered or you try to book. They don't care. And that's because the government has been corrupted to the point of allowing all of these mergers and stuff. When people, why even bother to have the government involved? Because they all rubber stamp these the mergers. And after all, in a free country, if we believe in the marketplace, we shouldn't even get involved. Let United go combine with Continental and do whatever it is that they do, and the passenger be damned. We've paid. We've gone down this street. I remember Robert Crandall, who used to run American Airlines, probably the smartest modern-day manager of an airline, said people don't want to pay for anything, and yet they pay for everything. Isn't that interesting? They don't want to pay for anything. They book the cheapest the cheapest seat.
Watch it there.
Thank you.
Sheet.
They're taking a trip to Schitt's Creek. What is that name of that
right,
show?
Schitt's Creek, yep.
Schitt's Creek, that's it. All right, anyway, so you get the point. Here's a consideration from residents in Bradenton, Florida. Anybody been to Bradenton? I was talking to somebody from there yesterday.
No,
I've never heard of it.
It's the orange capital of the whole Sarasota area. Orange capital of Florida. They're calling for a memorial to Confederate veterans to be replaced with a statue of Snooty the Manatee, who died in a tank accident this past
week.
This
is sad, actually.
It is.
This is very sad. He's the oldest living manatee, right, ever on record?
69 years old, yeah. Yep, Snooty the Manatee, symbol of Bradenton for almost 70 years, died, the oldest living manatee on record. Okay, so who can describe a manatee?
They're like...
It's flat, right? I mean, they look like what killed Steve Irwin.
No.
They're like a whale.
Yeah.
They're like a whale, right?
What do they call them? Are they the cows of the sea or something?
They look like... Yeah, I would sort of say they're like a hybrid of a seal and a walrus, but with like a puffier face.
They're called sea cows. What is this? The flat thing that's not... what's
stingray.
The flat thing? There's manta ray. Yeah. And
right.
Manatee.
Yeah.
There you go.
Right.
Yeah, manatee.
Now, the
like
manatee and the manta ray are much different.
Yeah, much different. Yeah.
Manatee does look like a whale. So anyway, they want to... this is... The controversy is replacing... This is amazing, isn't it? The Confederate monument... They want to move out of town and put a statue of Snooty the Manatee, and people don't want to do that because they're so tied. And in Florida, usually there isn't the kind of stridency that goes with these sorts of things as there may be in Mississippi or Alabama or Tennessee. And people say, well, what are you saying by that, Doug? You can figure it out. You know what I'm saying.
Well, I do think in this case, I don't know how many signatures they're up to now, but there was overwhelming support for this. I think the guy who started this petition needed 1,500 signatures or 1,000, and he had 2,500 overnight.
Oh, good.
So this may actually happen. And I think he also made a point of saying that he's not saying to destroy whatever the current Confederate statue is, just replace it, move it somewhere else and replace it with the manatee, because I guess people really consider the manatee and the town as sort of one.
Yeah, good idea. All right, let's congratulate Dennis Glancy of Burlington, Iowa, and Kelly Egan of Springville, Indiana. Both of them have won the Works Saw and Drill set. Every week we're giving away a gift pack as a drill and a saw. And this is coming from the interplay that we have on social media This is very cool. The Works people, W-O-R-X, have these fabulous tools. There's the new drill that's called the AI drill, the Advanced Intelligence Drill. I used one. We were rebuilding the front of a wagon over the weekend at the farm, and there were some, it was a certain kind of a head on a screw that we couldn't get out. It wasn't a regular Phillips head. It wasn't a straight head, but I had the tool in the Works toolbox. So just apply it, put it in the drill bit, bingo, brought it right out. There are so many different features to this AI drill that you will love. So what we're asking you to do, not only the drill, but there's a great saw that goes with it too. This is the saw will make it so much easier for those of you who mess around the house, like to do finish work. This is perfect for that. So two in one, and you can go on our Facebook page. Facebook.com/DJV Show. Or you can go to Twitter or Instagram. You can post at DJV Show on Twitter and Instagram why it is you would like to win the Works Tool Giveaway. So what did Mr. Glancy say, Victoria? What was his reason for wanting to have both the drill and the table saw? Blade Runner X2 is what it's called.
Yes, he follows us on Twitter, so you can win this by following us on any one of our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. So he follows us on Twitter, listens early in the morning, and has lots of home projects that he would like to get underway. So the Works tool set is perfect, he said, for everything that he's got on his honey-do list.
On his plate, as it were. Mm. All right, so Dennis, congratulations. Kelly, congratulations. You can be a winner this week on Fridays. We pick a name, and you can be in that. All you have to do is post what it is that you want to do. What do you need to do around the house? What are you going to do with it? Why do you win? Make sure you add the hashtag DJVWorks. All right? Win, win, win. 44 past the hour. All right, so I have a story.
Uh-oh.
And this is something that is, it may have happened to many of you and you didn't know it. Or it may have happened and something good didn't come out of it. There was the story that came to my attention after I actually read this. I followed this on Facebook, the story of this woman who said she was being followed by an unmarked police car. And the lights were on, and she was told to speak. The policeman's in the squawk box saying for her to pull over. And she remembered something that she was told by I think it was either her husband or her father or somebody. When an unmarked police car pulls up behind you and puts their lights on, don't pull over. Don't. Do not pull over. And this woman's story is the reason you don't pull over. She had, this lady's name was Lauren, listened to her parents. When she was being followed by the police car, she called 112 on her cell phone and asked the police dispatcher to tell her if there was a police car where in the area in the community where she was. And they said, no, there's no police car there. So she told the dispatcher that there was an unmarked police car, or at least flashing red and blue lights, in a car following her. Dispatcher checked. No police cars there. And the woman was told to keep driving. Remain calm until backup shows up. And it took 10 minutes for the four police to arrive, surrounded her and the unmarked car behind her. One policeman went to her side. The others surrounded the car. They pulled the guy out of the car, tackled him to the ground. He was a convicted rapist and wanted for other crimes. So the moral of the story is to know about 112. I've never heard of 112 before.
I've never heard of that.
I saw this.
Me neither.
112, the cell phone feature that goes direct to an emergency dispatcher. So if you're a woman alone in a car, don't pull over. See, the problem with this is, how do you know at night?
Right.
That it's an unmarked car. But a word to the wise, dialing 112 something that will apply. So I saw this and shared it. It was a Facebook story. And there's a lot of good, important material that comes out of this. It just, I'd never heard of 112 before. There you go. It's 10 before the hour. This is the DJV Experience. Time now for a visit from Tommy the K, Tom Kreidler from the Money Pit. The Money Pit! Where is the... There it is. Okay. I thought we had decided we were going to do different themes, though, Kara, for the Money Pit instead of that same old thing.
Oh, yeah, we do have two, and we switch them around.
All right. Tom Kreidler, not to be switched with, not to be trifled with. He's the man who's in charge of the Money Pit along with Laura Segretti.
Leslie Segretti.
What did I say? Laura?
Laura.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Leslie, I saw. So sorry. So, Tom, if you remember the last visit we had, was at the Boy Scout Jamboree. And just a moment on how the news media takes things out of context. You were there. You saw the whole thing.
Yep.
And was it the controversy that the news media made it out to be?
I mean, not in my view. Look, you know, the Boy Scouts had the president speak because it's a tradition. Since 1937, presidents have spoke to the Boy Scout Jamborees. This was the eighth time. It wasn't about making a political statement. It was just about inviting the president. But, of course, the news media takes that all out of context and makes it like the Boy Scout is now part of the Trump army, you know, which just wasn't the case.
Well, there are a lot of people who were saying, I'm taking my son out of the Boy Scouts because of that. I thought that was asinine.
Yeah, well, they're entitled to do whatever they want to do. This is America, right?
Yes, it is. You can be an ass.
The kids were really thrilled to see a president.
Yeah.
And there was a great atmosphere. There was a great electricity. And sure, he went off the script and, you know, got himself in a bit of hot water as a result of that. But that's his style, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. That is what it is. All right. In a moment, some questions from listeners who need answers. I need answers. You need answers. I need the truth. You can't handle the truth. Well, let's see if we can handle Tommy's truth. All right, let's see how we can help. Here's Andrew, who listens to the program, has a question about a high-efficiency washer. He says, I may have to reinforce the floor.
Right.
What does that mean? He has to put a new subfloor? What does he have to do for this?
I mean, I don't think you have to reinforce the floor, but I will say this. With high-efficiency machines, getting them level is really important because they spin so quickly. If they're out of level, they're going to vibrate. So you want to make sure that your floor is, you know, reasonably secure. It doesn't mean you have to rebuild it, but listen, if it's really slopey or something of that nature, maybe you have to do some work to it. But there's another thing that you can do, and these are called high-efficiency anti-vibration blocks. They're like rubber feet, but they're kind of big blocks. I have some under one of my machines, and they're about 3 inches square and about an inch thick. And what they do is they absorb some of the vibration of the spin cycle from the washing machine and you know, kind of reduce the noise that results from that. Now, I've got an old house. And so I've got very old floors, and I found that this really made a difference. So, yeah, these high-efficiency machines do, you know, spin very quickly. They've got to be perfectly level, and they'll tend to get out of level once in a while, and you have to adjust them. And if you notice that your machine is shaking or starting to walk, you know, where it sort of wobbles across the floor in its spin cycle, then you need to re-level it.
Hmm. All right, so there's Andrew's answer. Andrew, thank you for the question. Janice lives in a heavily wooded area, has a question about the north side of the house because of holes from woodpeckers. Mm. They fill in the holes, repaint. However, the woodchucks go right back and do the same thing over again. Damn them.
Yep.
How do they get rid of them?
Well, they're tough. And what I've found that works is a couple of things, and this is sort of a temporary measure, but it tends to move them off. Two things. First of all, you can cut plastic bags, like a big hefty garbage bag, into strips. So it kind of flops in the breeze. And tack some of those strips around the area where the holes are. That really stops them from coming back in that area. And the other thing is tin pie plates. If you were to hang a couple of those, that spinning sort of tin also discourages woodpeckers. And I've had good reports from people that have tried this and watched the woodpeckers go away and then not come back. Presumably they're finding a home at somebody else's house, but they're staying away. And then, of course, you can pull that material down.
Tom Kreidler, nationally syndicated Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Program, moneypit.com. Everybody clap. All right, come on. Let's go, Jennifer. Clap, clap, clap. Victoria, clap, clap, clap. Kara, clap, 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 clap.
I was told a long time ago to never clap on the radio because it's really super annoying to the listener.
It is kind of annoying, but you know what?
All right, you know what is super annoying is the, I don't know if this is, shall we call this annoying? By the way, hello. It's Monday, last day of July. How do you do? Doug Steffen, Victoria Keelan, Jennifer Horn, Kara Schillen, here to beguile you with information, conversation. How many people here have ever belonged to a union? I think all of us have.
All of us,
at one point in time, right? Kara, have you ever belonged to a union?
I have not.
No. Okay. So we've all belonged to broadcast unions or other related unions. Maybe have you had any experience with non-broadcast unions, Victoria?
Non-broadcast because, unions.
Yeah, that is if you work in some other job that requires you to belong to a union.
It's
not a broadcast job.
No.
Okay. Well, don't be why.
No, I'm trying to. I didn't know what that meant. And when you said non-broadcasting, I'm thinking like.
Yeah, the electrician's union or something like that.
Yes, I was an electrician, Doug.
Yes, I.
Well, the, before that, I was a plumber.
Oh, really?
It's pretty good.
Uh huh.
Yeah,
I've had 7 union cards in my life, and all of them created problems for me one way or another. This is a problem down in Mississippi where the United Auto Workers this week are trying to get a foothold at the Nissan plant. You know that most of our southern states have really large car, and most of them are foreign car operations, not a domestic car, the Nissans, BMW. I've seen any number. Toyota's got a plant down there. There are a dozen or so plants in various states. This one is in Canton, Mississippi, where workers were called off the floor on Friday to see slides and movies explaining what will happen, all the bad things that will happen, if they unionize. The reason these companies, whether they're foreign or domestic, want to build plants in the South is because they're right-to-work states. They are not states that require you to join a union, even if there is one there. But the reason that these places are built is because it's cheaper to hire non-union labor. Not because they get paid less per hour, but because the benefit packages are much different, the ones negotiated by the unions. There's a lot of fear, there's a lot of misunderstanding, and so one of the union workers said in a quote in this story that I'm looking at, they're telling you you're going to lose this, you're going to lose that, you may go on strike, and you'll be replaced by a replacement worker. I'd be more concerned that if your job was dependent on being a union, this is what the unions are dealing with in any field, robotics. More and more robotics in the auto industry. That may be one of the places where it's most visible. There are only 6% of workers in Mississippi that belong to a union. And that's a different the picture nationally. I remember when I was a kid, I can't tell you that I knew a lot of people who were doing important jobs that were manual labor jobs that didn't belong to a union. It's now down to about 10%, 11% of the population belongs to a union. I remember it being 20, 25, 30% of the country. But because, well, it depends on, I guess, your point of view. If you were in a labor union, you think that the owners of the plants or the companies took unfair advantage of you and they somehow or other screwed around with the unions. But the unions have screwed themselves not because of what they were doing for the employees, but because of their political involvement. Most of the unions are supportive of Democratic candidates. And when you go into these areas of Mississippi, Alabama, any of these areas, or a lot of areas that aren't in the South, the members of the unions resent the fact that their money is used to support candidates they don't like. And so in no small way, in my opinion, that has affected the union membership. They don't want to put their dues into a kettle that goes to supporting political parties and ideas that they don't believe in. And one wonders when they're going to get smart enough to realize this, or do they not care? I guess that's the question. There are a lot of black employees in the Nissan plant, and they're the ones who want their... It's a very interesting reality. The Japanese are notoriously racist. Notorious. In their country, and apparently over here, and that's one of the problems that some of the black workers have, is because of the way they've been treated by the management. But I thought most of the management of these companies now was pretty American. I mean, yeah, they have to report back to the company in Japan. But does anybody know anything more about the situations or what? We all have had union jobs, but we haven't been in a factory. So we don't know. I actually have. I worked in the General Motors plant in Framingham when I was a kid. And it was really very interesting. I couldn't tell you there were three black guys in the whole plant, frankly. And I don't know why I didn't. Actually, I've never thought about it until just now. How many were there that were most of the guys that were in that plant? There were 1,380 people that worked on that plant, and they were all guys that had their own garages, and they make more money, were more secure. So they all it was a pretty amazing how many garages, gas stations closed when the General Motors plant opened up. All in this whole for a 40-mile radius all around here, gas stations closed up by the dozens. They all those guys went to work at the GM plant. It was fascinating to watch, frankly. But I don't, now that I think about it, I don't remember three black guys in that plant. So is that something that these, is this the subtle sign of racism? The blacks are not being treated well, so the unions go in and say, okay, we can make it better for you. I don't, that's kind of a sad commentary on the realities of the world, but does it work? The vote will be later this week to see. I'm not, as I say, I've had seven cards in my life, and I've never felt the union did anything for me that I couldn't do for myself, but because I don't work in a right to live, I mean, I don't live in a right to work state, I had to join. Every one
what's
of them.
What's the, when you're not in a right to work state, what are you in?
It means, well, you have to, if there is union, if you're, for example, I first encountered it when I was a teacher. Best answer can be in an example, Victoria. I was a teacher. United Teachers Association, I don't remember what it was, but whatever the name of the National Teachers Organization was, we all had to, they negotiated the contract, and we all had to join, whether because we all got the benefits, therefore we were required to pay the dues. That was a state law. And I made so much noise about it that they elected me as the building rep, so I became a union rep. I could have said no, but I thought, oh, this is an interesting experience. Let me do it.
But if you're not in a union, see, like, I'm confused because in New York...
Doesn't make any difference. You still have to pay the dues,
right,
even if you don't join the union, because they have negotiated a contract that theoretically you would be better off with if you,
okay,
if you didn't have the union to represent you, you wouldn't be making as much money or have the benefits.
Yeah, basically, if you want to be a teacher, you have to join the union. If you want to be named the profession, you have to join the union. There's actually a case going on in California right now with a teacher who, I can't remember her name, but she took it all the way up to the Supreme Court. And I believe they're looking at the case right now to see whether or not that's legal for people to require that you join a union when you go into a desired... I'm sorry? Yeah.
It'll go to the Supreme Court.
It already is. I think they're looking at it now. Yeah,
the state
or they're picking
Supreme
it
Court
up
the
in
feds?
The fall. No, the like the federal Supreme
it's gone
Court.
To Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There are a lot of, and that's why the unions have lost their. That's another reason. It's too one way, and you can't just have. You got to have. If you have a free country, you got to have people with choices. So, if people benefit and they don't belong to the union, you know, so what? That's their decision to make. I don't hold with the right to work state, but yet I live in the two states that are probably the strongest in those areas that there are in the country. 15 past the hour, the DJV show, Zip Recruiter. ZipRecruiter.com. ZipRecruiter.com/DJV. Wow, look at all these companies that are using Zip Recruiter. Avidia, Dell, PayPal, Stanford University, Living Social, Allstate, IHOP, True Car, UPS, Toshiba. It goes on and on. The list of companies that are posting on ZipRecruiter, which is the fastest way to hire great people. And the jobs are posted free on these job boards that are all over the country. One click, one submission, and that's it. Your job is posted everywhere. So if you're looking for somebody who's career-oriented, they can fill the bill at your, whatever it is, whatever kind, doesn't make any difference what kind of company it is, you're going to find the job pool is there at ZipRecruiter.com/DJV. Why do you go to ZipRecruiter.com/DJV? Because you'll be able to use it first time around free. And that's what makes this site a lock. Once you use it, see how simple it is. See how easy you can manage the candidates. They have a very, very, very positive and easy-to-use system. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you, is the way it's supposed to be, right? Well, I'm going to do 800. Good, Doug. That's Pavlov's dog. Whenever I do, I'm always, okay, what's the 800 number? Nope, don't need an 800 number. All you have to do is go to ZipRecruiter.com/DJV. Better than any of the competitors. This is the cool company that you want to use to find your next good worker. ZipRecruiter.com/DJV. Use it free. All right, so Sean Spicer is going to transition into Dancing with the Stars. I think we alluded to this last week. Why in the world has he got some reputation of being a good soft shoe guy?
Well, I don't think he's addressed this, but Dancing with the Stars has apparently reached out to him.
Oh, they did?
Really? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Huh. Did he get a job with all the interviews that he had last week?
I don't know. He was seen very publicly meeting with a lot of different networks, so yeah. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Jon Stewart is going to perform his first recorded stand-up comedy special in more than 20 years for HBO. They haven't given it a name, a date, or a location yet. But his last special was called Jon Stewart Unleavened back in 1996. I think he's a funny guy.
His stand-up actually is very funny.
Yeah, right. I don't know. I actually thought, because he's so smart, he did a good job with what was it called?
The Daily Show.
Daily Show, yeah. And the person that's doing it now, nobody watches it because he's
The ratings are really down.
Nick. He's a nothing. All right, so what's up tonight? Kara, are you going to watch The Bachelorette tonight?
Actually, I probably won't. It's a live show, The Men Tell All, and I don't really care about it. So I might catch up again next week. What about you, Victoria?
You know, I have a friend coming over tonight, so our photographer for the wedding pictures, we're going to go all through that, so we probably will miss it. But it seems like it's a boring episode. It's the guys who've been kicked off. They come back and tell all the secrets.
I might watch 10 minutes of it and then decide it's boring, because it's the same thing for like 2 hours, just guys being angry at each other.
Two hours of that stuff?
Yep.
Yeah, it's
nonsense.
A lot.
Now 34 after the hour, DJV time. It's Monday morning. How do you do? Victoria and Kara are here with me. If you would like to listen to any of the previous or current podcasts of the DJV show and to have the new podcast automatically delivered to your smartphone, your tablet, or other wireless devices, go to blogtalkradio.com/DJV show. You can also get the podcasts from iTunes or everywhere podcasts are available. Just search for DJV show, all one word. That's DJV show, one word, all one word. If you want to listen to the previous or current podcasts of Your Hidden Power, other of the programs that we have, you just go to Blog Talk Radio and put in after your / the name of the hour or the part of the program that you want to listen to. Pretty simple. And if you want to listen while we're on the air, or you want to catch whatever has been going on that day, has this become confusing, Victoria? Or
I'm totally lost.
Are you really?
Yes.
All right. Well, the problem with having so much stuff is it does, and this has been simplified from what it was before. So the rule of thumb is to listen to the current podcasts of the DJV show, blogtalkradio.com/DJV show. You want to listen while we are on the air, you listen to TuneIn Radio, you listen to the whole program. The podcast is a portion of the program, but the whole program is on TuneIn Radio with Doug Steffen. Now is what you go to. Is that easier, better? No.
Yes.
Yes?
Okay. Sure. We'll talk about it later.
I'd like to get it all straight because everybody wants to know, well, not everybody, but a lot of people want to know what it is that, you know, you can get. This is the era of podcasts and listening when we're not necessarily on the air. They want to take, and it's really good because it shows that the frustration is I am driving to work and it takes me 40 minutes and I can just listen to you for 40 minutes, but I know you're on for hours and hours and hours. So when can I listen to the rest of the program? Can I listen on the way home? And the answer is yes, you can. All right. That's how you listen to the whole program. The TuneIn Radio. Doug Steffen now. All right. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Hopefully that makes it. No, listen, I'll be the first to hear if that didn't make any sense. Food news. A beer that improves your gut health.
Dr. Jack would love that, right?
Oh, I love it, yes. A probiotic beer that boosts the immune system and improves your gut health. Because, as so many say who are in the know, you have no health. Your immune system doesn't work. Nothing works if you don't have a good, strong gut. If your gut isn't working, nothing else will work well. So, apparently, the main ingredient in the beer, hops, kills probiotic bacteria. But a food researcher made the recipe happen after experimenting with different levels of hops and malt and alcohol and probiotics, putting them all together. The final product contains lactobacillus paras... They call it L26. It's a lactobacillus. And the beer has been described, ladies, as bubbly, slightly sweet, pale, and 3.5% alcohol. The beer is still unnamed. Researchers on the product are thrilled with how it has turned out. The project supervisor said the beer is simply a new vehicle for delivering probiotics. I put probiotics into my daily routine. I have some that I put into the smoothie, and some of it I put into, I just take capsules. And what about you? How do you get probiotics?
I take a probiotic in the morning and one at night, yeah. But it's probably not enough because I don't really eat dairy, so I don't eat any yogurt.
Yeah.
But a really good Greek yogurt, you know, that's not processed and non-GMO and all that stuff, that's a good source of the probiotics. Mm-hmm. I know people talk a lot about prebiotics. That sort of is confusing to me. I think that's the stuff that's in fermented foods, yep, which I know is really healthy for you, but I don't like fermented foods.
Yeah, I do both. But you can take, I have a drink that's pre, and I also have a powder that's prebiotic. I bought a whole case of it, as a matter of fact. So there's prebiotic, there's probiotic, and there's antibiotic. If you take antibiotics before you know if you're going on a course that includes antibiotics, take the prebiotic, and then after, or even while you're taking the antibiotics, use the probiotics. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes.
I always take probiotics while I'm taking antibiotics, because antibiotics kill everything, the good and the bad.
Yep.
So you want to replace it with the good.
Yep. Yep. Purdue
But this
Farms,
is interesting, though, that going back to the story, the beer, that is interesting that they're able to do that, because beer is fermented. But I think it usually kills the bacteria in the process.
The fermentation kills the bacteria.
Yeah, yes. So it's interesting that they've been able to inject some probiotics in that. That's great.
And to make it survive. Yeah.
Right, that's the
story. That's the headline.
Survival, that's totally
burying
right.
Burying the headline sometimes as I want to do.
You're really good at that. Skill set, Doug Steffen, bury the lead.
You're pretty pleased with yourself that you said that, right?
I only speak the truth.
Oh, yeah. All right. Purdue. Okay, let's see what the headline is here. Purdue Farms. They kill a lot of chickens, and they serve a lot of chicken. The changes they announced last week will make life more humane. So before they kill the chicken, they're going to make its life better.
I think they're also going, this has been a big story over the weekend on social media. Mm. This is a smart move by Purdue. Apparently this came about because they bought Coleman Natural, which is an organic chicken company.
Yep.
And so they started looking at how Coleman handles their chickens and said, well, wait a second, you know, millennials especially have been pushing for more humane treatment of animals. And it's just it's a big thing that a lot of companies are now noticing that millennial consumers these are things that, you know, we make these choices when we're trying to be conscious consumers. And so Purdue is smart to say, you know, we're going to take a look at how other organic chicken farms handle their stuff, and we're going to take some of those ideas and start using them.
Well, I don't know how much you want me to get down in the weeds here. I've told these stories on the air before, and I've said bluntly that if you ever knew how chicken was slaughtered, you'd never touch another piece of chicken in your life. The procedures for slaughtering chickens and turkeys basically involve a chainsaw and turning the chickens upside down. That's about it. So you can take it from there as to how it really has worked.
Well,
but these people do it differently.
Purdue had said that what they do currently is the chickens get essentially like stunned in a water bath. Which sounds like waterboarding. It's horrible. So they're not going to do that anymore. They're going to gas the chickens. They said it's more humane. Yes.
Let's see. How do we want to do this? We want to gas them?
Well, it seems better than drowning them.
Yeah, it's just...
I know. It's awful.
Yeah, it really is. It is.
But like back in the day, I mean, if you grew up... If you grew up on a family farm back in the day, like how did you kill a chicken?
You put a chicken on a piece of on a
Didn't you strangle it?
Platform. You can strangle it, but not a lot of times. They didn't even bother with it. Just bring it out to the woodshed and put the neck on a block of whatever it is that you're using to cut the wood. Take an axe and whoomph. That's the end of it. And then they bleed out. They still run around for a while.
Oh, my God. Okay, I can't.
You've heard the story about what happens to the chicken with its head cut off?
Okay.
That's the story.
We've crossed over to where Victoria might throw up now, so we can't. Moving on. Anyway, I applaud Purdue. I don't buy Purdue chickens because the chicken feed is corn and soy, which is all genetically modified. However, if they can go more organic and more humane, I'm all for it. So it's
all right,
a little step.
So let's think about raw foods for a minute. There's a lot of controversy about raw food diets. There are people who say, yep, it's the best thing to get the raw food that hasn't been messed with into your body. And that used to be the case. Vegans are designed to, well, I don't know if it's just vegans. Our bodies were designed because of what we came from to eat things raw. It wasn't until fire was discovered that things got cooked. But before that, if you wanted to live, you ate whatever was around, whether it was leaf, whether it was a veggie, whether it was some animal that you caught and did what we just described to, whatever it is. But now we are in a different world, different era, and the benefits of consuming diets that have fresh, uncooked vegetables and fruits and juices and nuts and seeds and sprouts and smoothies, all that stuff is cool, but because the quality of the food is in question now, it may not be so smart to eat things. I have railed against eating sushi ever since it was introduced. People say, oh, yum, it's great. It is horrible for you. The potential for what it will do to your gut is there's so much crap in there now. You don't know where it comes from. There are all kinds of things, the same sort of things that you find in pork, trichinella or trichinosis or whatever it is that comes.
Trichinosis, yeah, trichinosis. Comes from pork, yeah.
You get the same thing in salmon now and most fish that's farm grown. And so if you want to make sure that you're okay, choose your food wisely. I'm not suggesting that you don't eat carrots raw or vegetables, spinach, that kind of stuff. There are those who say you shouldn't eat any of it. It needs to be cooked because you can't trust the fact that it's been cleaned or not. Even if it's labeled organic, you don't really know. Although I don't think this year we've had as many problems as we have in the past with foods that are, lettuce that gets salmonella and spinach and things that don't get washed well, and then they get packaged. And so that's a horse of a sort of different color. But, man, there are so many different problems that can come about as a result of eating raw food, as much as if you could find really raw food. If you have your own garden, you're square. Or if you know where the farmer markets are and you know where the farms are, then you're square. But stuff that gets trucked all over the country, you're not square. You can lettuce that's grown or any of the stuff that's grown in California get shipped to New York or East Coast, wherever it goes. You don't know what's going on. You don't know whether that refrigerated truck has worked well. The best example I can come up with about refrigerated trucks and how reliable or unreliable they are is what happened to those people in the refrigerated truck in Texas last week.
Oh, right, yeah.
So, it's dicey at best. Dicey at best. So you make your own judgments for sure, but one of the things that's very important is to know where your food comes from. You hear that from me all the time on this program and that weekly show I do for farmers, the American Family Farmer. You just got to know where your food comes from. And otherwise, it's not to be trusted. Frankly, that's the way I look at it. All right, here's another item of interest. For those of you who are potato chip lovers, time to get your taste buds ready because the three finalist flavors competing for the $1 million as this year's Lay Do Us a Flavor contest continues. After crunching through some of the most inspirational flavors, Lay's is now turning it over to you, to all of America, to determine the winner. Listen to this. If you have heard about performance-enhancing vegetables with all this stuff we're talking about, raw and how safe it is, here's something I know you can count on, and that's Super Beets. Super Beets, circulation superfood. This is a process. Non-GMO beets are grown, harvested. They are cooked. They're cooked. And then they're dried, special process for that. And then they're powdered and put into a canister and sent to you so that you have the cardiovascular power of this amazing cooked vegetable. This is important because if you want healthy blood flow, your body loses its efficiency a little as it gets older. Your arteries aren't quite as strong. They don't expand as well. So what happens with nitric oxide is it helps your arteries to open up so the blood gets to your muscles, to your brain, all over your body. So if you want to do something really good for yourself right now, you'll call 800-655-4183 or you'll go to DougLikesBeets.com. Order your first jog of Super Beets. Get a 30-day supply free, free shipping, that kind of stuff. Super Beets, super good for your super body at DougLikesBeets.com. Want to dance, Victoria?
Yeah.
You're a good dancer?
I think I could probably slow dance to this.
Really? Are you,
it's
Carrie,
like a waltz,
a good
right?
dancer? Yeah, it's like a waltz, yeah. What about it, Victoria? Carrie, you a good dancer?
I could sway in place to this. Not the kind of music I normally dance to, but I could probably pull something
sway
off.
Sway in place. What music do you normally dance to?
Like 90s R&B.
Really? smooth socializer, eh? All right, well, this actually is music from The Princess Diaries. As that franchise expands, Victoria, yeah?
Yeah, well, this weekend actually marked the 16th anniversary of The Princess Diaries, which, of course, put Anne Hathaway on the map. It was her feature film debut, directed by Gary Marshall. She did the first two. There was a 2004 sequel. And apparently there's going to be a third one. Julie Andrews and Anne Hathaway have both said they would sign on for the third one. There is a project that is apparently very top secret right now, and they said they wanted to do it as a tribute to Gary Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure who would direct, but it would be interesting
not,
to
his
see.
His sister's not directing anymore. Sure, her health's no good either. I don't think.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see where they take the story because it would have to be, you know, maybe Anne Hathaway is a mom now or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Is she? I forgot what her.
In real life, she is, yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Yep.
The baby bump. Da-da-da-da.
Right.
All right. So that's the news from what's coming. We'll talk about what's actually been in the theaters this past week, and a couple of comments from various corners here as we continue on the DJV show. 56 past the hour, DJV time. Did I say Chucko wasn't here today? I think I said that. The movie that got the most focus, it seems, that Atomic Blonde, how'd that do in the ratings as far as box office totals, Victoria, over the weekend? Charlize Theron in a very... I saw the trailer and decided I didn't want to see it because it looked way too violent.
It's a departure for her, right? She doesn't normally
do that Mad Max movie. Was it last year or the year before? I think Chucker referred to it as taking a paycheck because she gets 10, 12 million for doing these movies.
Yeah,
I was not impressed with the trailer at all. How did it do at the box office?
It came in fourth. It made 18 really? Million, 18 and a half million.
I actually thought it looked pretty interesting. That's one of the movies that for the summer I was thinking about going to.
Really?
I wonder how the critics, I mean, I don't know if a movie like that, because it's an action film, if it does well with the critics or not, because...
I don't know. I find I don't care about it. I gauge it according to who's in it or what I see in the trailer, much as anything else. So what was number one? You go through the list, Victoria Forrest.
Well, number five was Spider-Man Homecoming. That made another $13.45 million. That's made $278 million so far on a $175 million budget. So that must be fun for the studio. Yeah. Atomic Blonde was fourth. That was the opening weekend with $18.5 million. Girls Trip continues to do well. It added another $20 million this weekend. The
would
grand
you girls
total now.
See that, the two of you? Would you
I would
see
definitely
that
see that. Yeah. 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 The grand total now is $65 million, and the budget was only $19 million. So that's like another Bad Moms kind of success story.
Yeah.
Number two was the Emoji Movie, which I literally know nothing about because I don't know children, but that made $25.6
million. This was one of those stupid video game movies or whatever, from the same stuff. All the cell phone icons that we use,
It's like the Angry Bird movie. I can't believe that people actually go and see that
stuff.
Yeah. I know. And number one again was Dunkirk. That made another $28 million. That's grossed a total of $102 million now. Now, you never told us, Doug, about Harry Styles. How was he in the movie?
I'm not impressed by him one way or another. Sorry, you'll booze. He didn't do anything for me.
Well, that goes against what most of the other critics say, so I will agree with everyone else.
Of course you will. Good for you.
Thank you.
I did see that, and it was okay. It wasn't as violent as I thought, and it was a good story. And I did see Baby Driver, which was also a little too violent, but a pretty interesting story. 59 past the hour, DJV time.